Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
As we continue to endure the long offseason, both sides of town have some decisions to make. So, who should stay and who should go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
With Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
There will be trouble.
Luis Robert Jr. back at the wall. Adios! La Pantera! On the prowl! He ties the game here in the sixth inning. We said he was close. And Luis Robert Jr., his ninth of the year.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm Judson Richards in for Ryan McGuffey this morning with
you roaring
for another hour.
Do not roar.
I wouldn't try to follow up that roar, Bruce.
I think that was uniquely very good, okay? I enjoyed it. People, you know, kind of piled on my buddy there announcing that. But the reality is that for that moment...
I just thought he had something in his throat.
Let's move on. I'm just saying there weren't too many moments last year where you could actually get excited if you were a White Sox broadcaster.
There were not, Bruce. No, it was a season that saw just 14 home runs. What did he have? Looking at the RBIs, just 35 RBIs. Again, and a year prior to that, 38 home runs. And we know that he was in the All-Star conversation or not. He was an All-Star. Came 12th in MVP voting in Luis Robert Jr. So in an offseason that, listen, Chris Getz with the White Sox has not made it a secret that this is not going to be an offseason. They're going to spend a lot of money. They will look to rebuild. They will look to retool with young players that they have contractual control over by moving Garrett Crochet and I think anybody else that another Major League Baseball team may be interested in. But the part about Luis Robert Jr., as you have seen greatness, last year was nothing like it, but is this still a year where they're going to be looking to move him this offseason, seeing the year that he had in 2024?
So the questions here are, can you get true value for a guy that hit 38 home runs and was, like you said, in the top 12 of MVP voting in the American League in 2023 for a guy that in 2024 had a devastating injury that kept him out for a lot of games, and then came back and was only a small version of who he'd been in the past year.
Yeah, he played in 100 games, had an OPS of 657, an OPS plus of 87.
Right. But again, everything, you know, the eye test tells you that at age, what is he, 26, 27?
27 years old.
Luis Robert Jr. has as much upside going into next year as anybody if you can look at him and say, you know what, these two injuries that he had in the same area of his lower groin area, that those are just freaky things that are not going to happen again. So I talked to general manager A and B at the general manager's meetings 10 days ago. And I talked about Luis Robert, and they said, gee, if this is 2023, the first one said, I'm trading three guys for Luis Robert, okay? Because even though he's making good money, he's not making $30 million a year, okay? He is a difference maker on defense. He was a difference maker on offense. It's projectable that he comes back to being that player. However, the injury keeps me from thinking I can afford the 2 to 3 top young players in my system for him. General Manager B, Judson, said to me, we'll look at it, but until he proves he's that player again in April, May, June. We're not trading for him, okay? He's got to go out there and be Luis Robert Jr. again for us to feel good about making a trade for the 2.5 years that are left on his contract at the trading deadline in August.
The White Sox have just hired a new director of hitting. Ryan Fuller will join us coming up in just about 20 minutes. And one of the things that Ryan mentioned in his press conference was that he wants the White Sox to be a place where they can recognize players that can have a bounce back season, right? And that typically is, it's not injury related, but it's more swing mechanic related. That I know that guy, if we get our hands on him, he can do something great. So if you really believe that Ryan Fuller is someone that has the eye to recognize how a hitter can correct to get back on track, wouldn't you give him a chance, whether your plan is to keep Luis Robert Jr. for the long term and have him be, you know, one of your build-around guys that we know he can be, which we watch in 2023, or if you're going to get the most for him, give Ryan Fuller, your new director of hitting, a half a season to get him back to where you go, because Luis Robert Jr., we know what he's able to do, and Fuller's supposed to have an eye to correct what he's struggling with.
So that's well thought out on your part, Judson, because the idea here is that at this juncture, what you're trading is a flawed player who was injured, had two dramatic injuries in the last 3 years, and has not hit up to his prior ability, okay? A great general manager who's got big cojones is going to say, I'm rolling the dice on Luis Robert.
Right.
Okay? I'm giving you my number four, my number six, and a player off my roster, okay, for Robert, because I think if we put him on our team, he could be the difference in us going to the World Series or not.
Yeah, that's a side of it we should mention. I think I've been looking at through the lens of teams are only going to be putting an offer on or trying to bring down the value of Luis Robert Jr. because of the 2024 season. But there may be a team very clearly that goes, listen, he was hurt and you lost more games than any team has ever lost in Major League Baseball. So yeah, perhaps that may have affected his attitude a little bit.
Let me ask you this question. If the White Sox had not had the track record of all of their really fine, talented, huge upside type Latin American players that got hurt, has he been hurt by the perception that all the White Sox players were tainted because of the fact that every one of them got hurt?
And absolutely.
None of them came back to being the players they were in 19, 20, 21.
100%. By the way, Luis Robert Jr. played in 68 games in 2021. He played in 98 games in 2022. He did play in 145 in 2023. But I think if you were to take, again, a 162-game average, he is much more likely to miss a good part of the season than to be a guy that's going to regularly play 145, right? It's his career does not bear that out, that he's going to be an everyday kind of guy.
Here's the other point. In Cuba, the major league season there is 95 games. That's all they play, okay? When Cuban players come over here, they have to gear up and get ready and play another 70 games almost, okay? A lot of them have not been able to hold up under that, because they had been trained to play 95 games. Jose Abreu was the exception for the White Sox. He came and he played every game. Yep. There were a couple years where he got injured and might have missed 15 games. But if you look at the composite of games played for Jose Abreu for 9 years, it was probably 150 games, okay? The guy just, he was an animal. He trained himself to get stronger, better, worked harder. So the perception here is for Cuban players to come here and understand after going through the international process and coming over and maybe not playing for a year and a half as far as training goes and then going into games, there seemed to be a missing element involved as far as, yeah, I'm going to go get it for 162 games. You had the other element involved that you paid them in advance.
You didn't pay him for 95.
Right.
You're paying for 162. Right,
but you paid all these guys in advance. Why? They had tremendous talent, okay? They were going to be a difference maker for you. They were the guts of what was supposed to be a 5 or 6 year run in deep into the playoffs. Didn't work out that way.
So bottom line, as far as stay or go goes, I think we can agree if Chris gets the offer that he think is a very, very good one, he is gone. We just don't think he's going to get that offer because right. of his last season.
And we don't know what Getz feels is enough. In other words, is the salary, the payroll weighing on him as well as getting back optimum amount for what could be an all-star player again for the next 7 or 8 years? I mean, it's a tough one. I would say if it was me, and we're closing down this segment, if it was me, I would say we're going to roll the dice, get him well, and then get optimum amount for him at the trading deadline when people are salivating to try to get to the playoffs with an impact player, because we're not going to need him for those next 2 years. We're going to need the talent that's on those other teams. Right now, you just might not get those players that you need.
Yeah, .224 average, 14 home runs, 35 RBIs is not the player we know, and that does not sound like it's going to be an optimum trade value.
I can tell you this. Talking to him, getting to know him over the last 4 or 5 years, he expects to be a great player, not a good player. He has a tremendous feeling for wanting to be out there and showing that he's the best, helping his team win, tremendous pride. Last year, he was stealing bases in the second half, and they basically shut him down because he wanted to show, whether he was hitting or not, that he was out there to try to win, be a team player. Winning is everything for him. And they, for obvious reasons and not so obvious reasons, said to him, stop running. We don't need you to get hurt on the bases. We're at 110 losses here. We're not going to win anything. We need to keep you healthy. That's a very difficult thing for a player to hear, right?
Sure.
It was right. It was probably the right information. But the idea that he wants to play hard, be great, in my mind, there's no doubt that if he has the good health to go along with it, he'll get back to that.
Well, and a player being told don't do that so you can stay healthy also sounds like Chris Getz will keep those phone lines open to make sure that if someone does want to make an extreme offer that they love, that at least the player is healthy in the offseason heading into it.
These are not players in the offseason. They are assets.
Yep.
They are human beings, but they are chips for a business to try to get better or keep one way or the other by trading them. So it's always interesting when you get to this time of year and general managers have to put on their, we're trading this asset for this asset, and the human side has to, you know, go to the backside.
The new director of hitting of the White Sox, Ryan Fuller, will join us coming up in 15 minutes. Let's go back to the phones. 312-644-6767. Mike in Woodstock has been waiting patiently. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
How we doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got
good.
You.
I'm doing great.
Good.
I just wanted to share a story with the one person I know who would appreciate it. You, Bruce.
Okay.
I had the privilege of meeting Dan Bellino yesterday.
Okay.
What an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I talked to him for quite a while and shared some cool stories about Country Joe with me. It was just fun. I felt compelled to call you.
Where did you see Dan Bellino?
I'm going to tell you, I worked for the Secretary of State. He brought in his son to get his driver's license.
Okay, great.
So when I looked at my screen and I saw the name Dan Bellino, I'm like, no way. It can't be him. And it was.
It's awesome. What did you talk about?
Umpiring, basically. His son at that point did not have the proper documents to actually get his license, so we had to send him home, and he came back. But he mentioned that his son was an umpire. And I'm like, God, I umpired as a kid. You know, it sucked. I didn't make any money. He's like, well, I make a lot of money umpiring. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, you are Dan Bellino. It was really cool.
Thanks for sharing that.
No worries. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Ambolino, one of the great umpires in MLB, and yeah, Chicago area native, and never know who's going to stop by the Secretary of State's office to get their license renewed, right?
I was going to say, can someone like Dan Bellino name drop himself and move to the front of the line, or is that, I feel like most people would be like, I don't know who you are.
I would say, you know, the umpires that I've known over the years, and I've known a lot of them, wonderful, wonderful people that I've known, and they have a tremendous savvy because they travel by themselves all the time, and they know who to talk to, mm-hmm. where to go, and how to get the best situation as well as anybody that I know. They are traveling experts, so I don't think Dan had any problem figuring out how to get to the front of the line.
That's a good point. 312-644-6767. Pauly is downtown with us. Hey, Pauly, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love listening to you guys talk baseball. Bruce, you're the only one who'll recognize this name. I think it was 1976. I met Emmett Ashford once at a party and talked to him for about a half hour. So, anyway.
Yeah, well, let's identify who that is, and that is Emmett Ashford was the first African-American umpire in Major League Baseball. And he had a tremendous flair about his game as far as calling strikes and outs on bases. And sure, I remember him. Yeah, back to baseball.
Okay, so I called about the White Sox. Well, first of all, just to touch on what you guys are talking about with Robert, here's the issue when you pay these guys a lot of money, even though Reinsdorf saved money because he bought them out early there. Their effort is unpredictable. And there were so many times, this Robert, he should be an MVP candidate. And there were so many nights he just didn't care. He swung at the low outside curveball, strike three, walked back to the bench. Like, he didn't even care. But anyway, here's why I called, Bruce. You guys can comment on that if you want. I know you got to move here. You have your sources, I'm sure. I don't know if you've heard about that. I have a few sources myself. 2027, there's going to be a strike. The CBA comes up at the end of 2026. As we all know, Reinsdorf engineered the one in 93, and he's kind of pushing for this one now because they want a salary cap, and they want the players to not be able to look at the books. They basically don't really need the players anymore. They're in bed with gambling. The players don't bring in much revenue. We joke. You could put Simeon in Cubs uniforms and New Trier in Cardinals uniforms, put them at Wrigley in the middle of July, you'll still draw 40,000. And people will still bet it. They'll bet like fiends. They're betting on anything. Look at these prediction sites that exist now that you can bet on. So Reinsdorf is not going to pay any big money for anybody, and any of these other guys would be wise. I think you're going to see a lot less long-term contracts because of this being up in the air. This is going to be a hardcore fight. As you know, the union is the strongest union in the world. And I find it difficult to believe they're going to give up on the salary cap thing. And that's the number one thing Reinsdorf wants, salary cap.
Thanks for your call. Let's take this one step further before we go to the break, Judson. The basic issue right now is the RSN issue.
Right.
And the team's taking a hit of anywhere from $30 to $70 million a year in money that they can no longer project getting from their television viewers, okay? The cord cutting versus cable streaming versus cable streaming, unpredictability of viewers staying with the product from month to month, let alone for a whole year. All that has a chaotic view of the advertising world and where the residual dollars will be coming from. That's going to be the major fight, as he alluded to, in 2027, when Major League Baseball players and the owners and the union get together. And he's right. I've heard the same things. There could be a year lockout, you know, a year and a half. Great.
This is heading into the 2027 season.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't, as the caller said, I don't believe you can put anybody into a uniform and people will come out and watch.
No.
It's no. These are the best players in the world.
The White Sox somewhat just proved that, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. It did. These are the best players in the world. People want to watch quality baseball. Major League Baseball got it right by getting it back down to 2.5 hour games. You can view it on so many different different ways now. You know, again, getting streaming figured out, getting the metrics figured out for how people want to watch baseball, what they want to see as far as the ancillary things on their phones and their iPads. Those are things that are being figured out right now. But again, it could be messy. I don't think baseball can withstand a year away. There's too many other things after COVID and a 60-game season. There's too many other things that people will say, you know what? We did without baseball mostly in 2020. We can do without you again.
The White Sox continue to add talent, not necessarily on the field, but they continue to add brighter minds. New White Sox director of hitting, Ryan Fuller, joins us on The Score. Coming up next.
Lifts it out to left, and Luis Robert Jr. says, if you bet on me, take it to the bank. It's the White Sox with a solo home run in this first inning, getting on the board first. A 1-0 lead for Robert Jr., his eighth home run of the season.
Bruce, the season may be months away. Judson Richards, Bruce Levine with you inside the clubhouse. The season may be months away, but teams are making decisions. They are making hirings. And now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is new White Sox director of hitting, Ryan Fuller. Download the Circus Sports app today.
Good morning, Ryan. Thank you for taking some time with Bruce and Judson today. Good morning. How are you? And welcome to the humble airwaves of 670thescore.com.
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you.
It's great to be with you. You know, let's start off by talking about the new regimen of jobs in front offices. So, you know, fans were so used to the idea that you had a pitching coach, you had a hitting coach. They were basically the guys, other than in the minor leagues. Minor league directors would appoint director of minor league hitting, director of minor league pitching. That's no longer the case. You come in as a important front office person as director of hitting. Can you talk a little bit about the evolving way that baseball has gone about bringing in people like yourself and the allure of taking this job with the White Sox?
Yeah, there's a ton to like with this job, and I've seen it from different angles. I've been a minor league coach. I've been a minor league coordinator and the big league hitting coach for the last 3 years. And when you're in it every day with the players, you can get bogged down to the 13 guys you're working with every single day. And to have more support and the overarching coach of the entire hitting department, it allows for consistency. It allows for easy messaging from the Dominican Republic all the way to the major leagues. And it's a person who not only is helping the coaches, but working in the background to create great tools and making sure that the message from the front office is trickling down to our coaches. And also one person that can help the coaches in any areas they need. You kind of all think of it as a coach for the coaches and just another person to support the entire department and making sure there's a clear message and everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Ryan, what sold you on the White Sox?
I love building things. I have seen it with the Orioles when I joined in 2019. And you could see, okay, this is going to take a little bit of time. But when you have people like Chris Getz and the people that he's bringing in, I've seen what can happen from 2019 to where the Orioles are now. 2021, they won 52 games at the big league level. The following year, 83. Last year, 101 wins. So it can happen a lot quicker than people think. And what
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Chris has done bringing in really talented people, and everyone I've met on the White Sox, it's clear that there's a plan in place, and the people have really energized me.
So Joe and Jill Chicago are driving around listening to you and us on the Score right now. And they turn to each other and they say, well, this guy sounds really smart and really good, but can he make or can he help players with marginal talent and middle range talent be a better version of themselves and a major league player and a contributor rather than the obvious of the White Sox need more talent when it comes to looking at building a building block for the future?
No doubt about it, and we're going to see the results here year after year, and that's the coach's job. And it's not easy to make the lower-end prospects into big leaguers. It's really hard to make the high-end talent big leaguers as well. We could see it. First-round picks don't have the highest rate of going to the big leagues and sticking around for long careers. So every player available to us, maximizing their talent, finding the areas that they need to improve, and really shoring them up. And that's what I pride myself on, not just with the prospects, but at the major league level too, looking for guys who have the need of a bounce back year, who maybe have had a couple of tough years, getting them back on track, but really not overlooking anybody, because everybody is going to have a key part in rebuilding this thing up, and looking forward to working with every single guy, because I've seen it, the guy who is that late round draft pick, they have special skills. They're a professional baseball player for a reason, and we're going to find ways to maximize their talents.
How much of your job is believability in you, trust in you, as well as the metrics and the R&D help that you bring to your profession? You obviously proved out already with the great success in Baltimore, but how much of you or any coach that resonates has to be a salesman?
You want people to want to follow you, and that doesn't happen when you just come in and say, here's who I am, follow me. It's developing that trust, and I see that with the players, the coaches, everyone in the front office coming in, asking a lot of questions, figuring out where we're at, areas that we can together improve, and that's one of the things that I love. I love being around people, and through the game of baseball, it's those conversations of, hey, what are you seeing here? How are you feeling? And then letting those people talk and finding areas you think that you can help and improve. And I look forward to doing that with the players, the coaches, everyone involved, because the special part of baseball, the relationships you build, and I look forward to gaining that trust.
New White Sox director of hitting, Ryan Fuller, with us on 6-7 The Score. Ryan, you know, you haven't just been rubbing elbows with baseball people and major leaguers your entire career, right? You were at one time a high school teacher.
That's right. I was a high school English teacher for 6 years in Connecticut and coached a high school baseball team. Every night after school, would jump in the car and then go to the local batting cage and hit with high school and college guys. So it's been a ton of fun. And if you told me I'd be in this position a decade ago, I would have told you you're crazy. But it's been an amazing ride, and really have been lucky to have been a teacher. The presentation skills every day, being in front of a classroom, getting those reps. It only helps when you're working with major league players and you're up there talking about the attack plan of the opposing pitcher each night.
What are the similarities when you're talking to, let's face it, 99% of high school players, their career may end there. What are the similarities of talking to a high school player that's going to be done after a senior year versus talking hitting with someone like Colson Montgomery?
Every guy who plays baseball wants to be their best, and regardless of whether it's the high school athlete or a professional baseball player, being able to tell them, here's where you are, this is where I think you can be, and here's the plan to get there. Everyone who I've been around who wants to be great, when you lay it out of the what, the how, and the why, they buy into it. And when you can clearly instill in them, I have confidence in this plan, I know we can get you better, guys love to hop on. So whether it be the high school senior who that's his last year, hey, I think we could win a state championship, I think you could be a key part, versus the guy coming up from AAA to the big leagues. Okay, you are now a big leaguer, but we want you to be an all-star. And here's the roadmap to get from where we are today to accomplishing that goal. When you lay it out, guys love to jump in. And as coaches, it's our job to instill that confidence and make them really believe that it's possible.
Brian, let's do a fun example. Let's take the career of Anthony Santander of the Orioles under your tutelage and, you know, our good friend Brandon Hyde, the great manager and good friend of ours, and talk about his progression as a hitter, now being one of the most sought-after free agents out there on the free agent market at age 30. Talk about the work you did with him and some of the things that you might want to incorporate with some of the White Sox players as you take over here.
I could talk about Anthony Santander all day, so thank you for bringing him up. Just a special guy. And when we got there, he was certainly skeptical of younger hitting coaches coming in. But like we just talked about, making a clear plan, and we had seen you are a special talent. You hit the ball extremely hard. You do a good job of hitting at good angles. The one area we really focused in on with him was creating better swing decisions, controlling the zone, and maximizing the areas that he was swinging at where he could do damage. And that really manifested in the attack plan every day of, okay, here's where we're going to go on this pitcher. Here's a spot where we're going to let him have that zone so we can really leverage the areas we're looking at. And he became, over the 3 years together, one of the best game planners I've ever been around. He led the advanced meetings with the guys. He understood, okay, you know what, 2-1, I've watched the last five starts. After a 2-1 pitch, he goes splitter. That's the pitch I'm going to be on tonight. So really creating the trust with him, showing the value that we could bring to him, and really allowing him to see if we make these adjustments to controlling the zone and game planning at a really high level, that power, those innate skills that you already are showing, they're going to be magnified even more. So he's a guy I am so high on. He's amazing, and he really deserves everything that's coming his way.
Ryan, we've spent a lot of time in the 10 o'clock hour talking about Luis Robert Jr. I think we would be remiss if we did not ask you directly about Robert and what you've seen. The guy in 2023 was not the guy in 2024. Where do you begin with him?
Marcus and I have been looking at the player plans, going over. I'm really excited to connect with Luis here in the next couple of weeks and go over what we desire for the offseason plan and getting him back to being a really high league-leading OPS hitter in 2025. But really, you look at what do the best players do, and I consider him to be in that category if you look at his most productive years. And you pick out the guys like Aaron Judge, what do they do? And man, when the pitcher throws the ball over the middle, they swing. And when they don't throw it over the middle, they tank. So just really allowing him to know, let's be aggressive over the heart. Let's take those pitches outside of the zone and then leverage that body. He is so strong, making sure that he's using his body, using the ground really well. And if we could do those things, he's going to get back to being a really productive guy who can be one of the best in the league.
Audio learners, visual learners, guys, that unbelievable amount in MLB that people don't know about, ADDH, people who have to deal with that type of medicating themselves on a daily basis. How much does this come into your R&D and your real knowledge of each individual player and how to get the most out of them?
It's an awesome question. It's one I'm passionate about. I've seen, especially with young hitters coming up, and they're being productive, but behind the scenes every day, there's a ton of anxiety when guys come up to the major leagues, especially if you strike out four times in AAA, you just come to the ballpark the next day. But at the big league level, when you strike out four times, you look up, you see on MLB Network, you open up Instagram, you're going to see you striking out four times. It's a real thing. So that's definitely something I'm going to be talking about, what we can do to make sure these guys understand that failure is part of the game, how we can support them even more. And it's one thing we'll definitely be looking at because we want these guys to feel like they can move up each level, be comfortable, understand that there's going to be challenges, and understand that we're going to provide them with a ton of support as well.
Ryan, did you know Will Venable much at all, the White Sox new manager? Did he have a lot to do with you wanting to take this job?
I've known through a ton of mutual connections about Will, and certainly with Brandon Hyde, working with him with the Cubs, a lot of people with the Red Sox that I'm close friends with, just had nothing but amazing things to say. And then that initial phone call that we had, it was really exciting to talk to him. Guy's a winner. He's very elite, and I'm really looking forward to learning from him. And he's certainly one of the key people that Chris has brought in that really excites me, and can't wait to work with these people.
Swing and miss. How does Ryan Fuller look at swing and miss as opposed to all the metrics that are important to people these days on base percentage, OPS, working counts, you know, productively? Are you a devout swing and miss is not acceptable, or swing and miss is part of the progression and part of the element of every player?
Great question. Obviously, it's nuanced. It would be amazing to not swing and miss, but it's part of the game. It's going to happen. I look at it in the context of where is the swing and miss, and where is the damage done at every single level? It's going to be right over the heart of the plate, right at the belt, kind of that middle zone. That's where I'm most cautious about in zone whiff, especially wanting to make sure when they give us a mistake over the middle that we're making loud contact on it. So really making sure that all our guys have the skill, because if that skill is not there, if you can't control the middle of the zone, there's going to be a quick ceiling on your career. So making sure that we're training the guys to control the zone over the middle, make hard contact, and then when they put it there, be able to hit a ball hard on a line in the air.
Ryan, welcome to Chicago. Congratulations on the new gig. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Fuller, new White Sox director of hitting for your White Sox.
I like it.
You like it?
I do. Especially because, like any sports radio host where the person you're interviewing compliments you on a great question.
Yes,
I usually go, oh, man, is it really, or is he just being a nice guy? But the reality of the depth of the guy, and that the White Sox, like the Cubs did starting maybe 12 years ago, they really are in the – I mean, White Sox fans can feel good about that. They've hired a lot of really smart people who understand all of the data out there, how to get that data to an individual, okay, and how that helps people get better. There's no longer in baseball Don Zimmer saying the 240 guy is going to hit 240, the 260 guy is going to hit 260. Look at the back of the baseball card. There are people out there that are reaching out, doing a much better job. Again, you must have the talent and ability to follow through on what's taught to you, but I think the White Sox are on the right track with the people they're hiring in, and Ryan sounds just like the guy they need.
If you want to react to that, 312-644-6767. Also, how can Juan Soto change the pace of this offseason? We'll talk about it next on 670 The Score. Judson Richards, Bruce Levine with you inside the clubhouse on 6-7 The Score. Hey, before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 6-7 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Lawrence Holmes, Olin Kreutz, and Patrick Manley will be live at Wonderverse in Oakbrook as they'll get you sent for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures. Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech decking and railing, all of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Bruce, it's been a pleasure. Not much time left before we hand it off to Saturday Suckage and Steve Rosenblum. I did want to say we did not talk a lot about Juan Soto, which I think that may lend to he's probably not coming to Chicago.
Right, but he is going to be holding up the free agent and trade market all by himself. Scott Boras, who the super agent, has 7 of the top 10 guys out there in free agency. Soto is the key. I think he's going to sign by the winter meetings. It's a good move for him. he's either going to get $550 or $600 million from the Mets or the Yankees. I don't think there's much doubt about it. Toronto's considered a late player here. But the trade market for, like, we talk about Bellinger and other teams, like, possibly being moved somewhere else. That trade market will not evolve exactly until some of the big players, including Soto, the top left-handed hitter and superstar, comes off. And I think, you know, Boris usually waits till February to sign his guy. I think by the end of the winter meetings, he's signed with either the Yankees or Mets.
Bruce, thanks for having me.
It's been great having you.
It's been a pleasure.
People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, on our website at 670thescore.com, where we write Cubs and about the Cubs and White Sox. It's been a pleasure having you here, Judson. I hope to see you down the road, you know.
Same here.
Ryan takes time off, so.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it is the weekend. If you miss anything, find it on the Odyssey app and that rewind function. See Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, coming up next on 670 The Score.